right, hang on. Let me find it. There we go.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Oh, you know how it is. Sometimes the music works, sometimes the music doesn't work. Obviously, today, for the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio, it didn't. I am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan. Now, you know, I know, you know, obviously you and I aren't gigantic college basketball fans or, you know, and you know, anything like that. I do fill out a bracket, even though I don't watch a ton of it. And, you know, it's just fun to do. But, you know, last night they did have the championship game. You know, Virginia ends up beating Texas Tech in overtime, so it appears like it was a pretty good game. Now, what I can't figure out, Dan, is I would have probably checked out some of this game, especially the fact that, it went into overtime, so obviously it was a close contest, and they were playing for a championship. The tip-off was 8:20 our time. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to watch, but 10 or 15 minutes of the game with my work schedule. And, you know, if you live on the East Coast or in the Eastern time zone, you've got a 9:20 tip off. Dan, how many people in like our time zone and that time zone made it to the end of a game that went into overtime?
All the ones that took it in.
Yeah, that would be about the only reason or the only way you could have got there, you know, unless maybe you had a second shift deal where you don't start till a little later. But, you know, if you've got if you're a 9-to-5-er or, you know, you start anywhere around that time, you didn't make it to the end of this game. And like I said, it seems like it was a pretty good game. So, this kind of begs my question here, Dan. When the hell are they thinking scheduling it like this?
Where are both teams from? I don't know anything about
Virginia and Texas.
Maybe it's Virginia spring break week for the whole state.
Actually, I did hear in the pre-show that Virginia canceled classes for today. So they were all set up for, whatever was going to happen or, however way it played out. I didn't hear if, Texas Tech had done the same thing. But, either way, if you're going to one of these schools, you're staying up for the entire game anyways. I mean, I'm just talking about, dopes like you or I who might have wanted to check this out because it was a championship game, great. Well, it's an 8:30 start. I got to go to bed. I get up at 2:30 in the morning. So, what the hell am I supposed to do?
So, watch the highlights Sunday morning.
Right.
Yeah,
don't expect you to have a gigantic explanation, but yeah, it just seemed, it just seemed weird that it was like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, and, you know, we'll work it this way, and, you know, oh, who cares who's going to watch it or what they're going to do with it or however it's going to work out. We're just going to do what we want. And I assume, you know, television has quite a bit to do with this and, you know, all that other fun stuff. But, yeah, it was just like, really? Like, I can't, you know, I can't even watch a championship game because I, you know, because of this. So.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point of view. I mean, for me, honestly, I could care less. They could schedule it at any time, and I won't watch it. But, you know, it would have made more sense if it was, you know, it was Oregon versus Seattle.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, just take it from your point. Obviously, like you said, you weren't really interested. Say you did want to watch it, you know, or just wanted to check it out. How long could you have stayed with it? Till maybe, what, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe get the whole first half then.
Right. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, I, you know, this is. Yeah, it just, like I said, it just didn't make, you know, a ton of sense to me scheduling-wise. But, yeah, I was like, well, you know, obviously, you know, not my, you know, it's not really my cup of tea anyways. So, you know, I just kind of, you know, just kind of deal with it and see what, you know, see what happens. So, but besides that, Dan, I did find a, just kind of randomly, I call it dumb luck, whatever you want to call it. I realized that I found a baseball team that I should be rooting for after watching them play today. And I don't know why, or I'm wondering if maybe they hadn't done this as much earlier in the year, but I sat down, I got to see the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. And now, obviously, you know, none of us really picked the Blue Jays to do a whole lot. And, you know, they're not off to a fantastic start. But apparently they had what they called a hitters meeting, you know, today in their, you know, before the game against the Red Sox. And what I found incredibly interesting, Dan, and I actually thought I was just kind of lost, is they hit and ran, they hit behind the runners, and they sacrificed runners over. Plus, they actually stole some bases. So I legitimately thought I was lost and I was watching the wrong, you know, wrong game or something. And you know, and to add to it, they ended up winning. They did a really nice job, you know, against Chris Sale. And obviously, Dan, you know, anybody else who's going to talk about this game isn't going to say a word about it because they just flat out hate the way that, you know, that Toronto just won this game. But is there any chance maybe the Blue Jays can knock some sense into people and they'll kind of see that you can still play baseball this way?
I mean, I know it was 15 years ago, but isn't that how the White Sox won the World Series?
Yes. Yeah, remember they had was it the winning ugly thing or whatever they had going on? So
I don't remember that. I just remember for me being a Cubs fan and not rooting for them whatsoever, I was more impressed by the fact that they utilize everyone's talent to the fullest, where even, you know, in today's game, the weakest guy, so to speak, the guy not hitting 20-plus home runs, such an involvement in that team that they wouldn't have won without him.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's just incredibly shocking, Dan. Guys hitting to right field with two strikes on them.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, so, you know, and getting base hits doing it. You know, I mean, I don't know how many times I saw them where they actually hit behind the runner and they got to go to first and third or, you know, the guy shot the ball through the gap because they had the shift on him, or, you know, with two strikes, a guy actually choked up and, you know, and hit the ball that way. And it was like, wait, what am I watching? Who's coaching this team? It's like, I mean, obviously I'm not a gigantic Blue Jay fan, but if they're going to continue to play like this, I think I'm going to have to watch their games. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, hey, cool, look at this. They're playing baseball. You know, and they did it, you know, they did go on to win. And it was funny because I did see the wrap up on the MLB network. And humorously, they blamed it all on Chris Sale. You know, apparently he's having arm trouble, or, you know, something is going on with Chris Sale because he only lasted four and two thirds innings, you know, in the game. So, you know, it had nothing to do with the approach the Blue Jays took. It had everything to do with the fact that Chris Sale was bad. So that, you know, I guess that's just kind of how it works out for you. But yeah, I got a kick out of, you know, like I said, actually watching the baseball. You know, it just wasn't everybody up there swinging for the fences every time. You know, with the new analytical way. And I mean, you know, the announcers actually talked about productive outs, which is a big, big no-no when it comes to sabermetrics and analytics. There are no such thing as productive outs, but, you know, the announcers actually mentioned it. And, you know, what a productive out is, obviously, you know, with a runner on second, you ground out to the right side, he gets to go to third. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of, you know, interesting or positive things that could come out of it. And, you know, obviously, you know, it worked out today. They got a really nice 7-5 win. You know, will they continue to do that? I mean, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, we don't know who's going to do what, but it was just so nice for me to see, you know, and just instead of having to listen to all these morons talk about, you know, like what your launch angle is. Cause like it was humorous. I saw on the Mickey Mouse Network last night, they had the, I think it was the Astro Yankee game on. I think they've got it again tonight. Mm-hmm. Last night, they actually went through and had a demographic of what the perfect launch angle and exit velocity it is that you need to hit a home run in Houston. And I was like, really, you wasted somebody's graphic time on this, figuring this out? Because there's a bajillion ways to hit home runs, not, you know, so what, this is just the perfect one? You know how many balls get out that aren't hit like this? So I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, there was one of those Sunday night where Cody Bellinger hit the ball so high, you know, they had to bring up the exit velocity and, whatever the other one is, launch angle.
Yeah.
How normally it would be a home run, but, you know, you hit it too high. I'm like, well, it's kind of obvious, isn't it?
It's like that, I think it's Major League 2, where the guy's like, too high. Oh, it's too high. What do you mean it's too high? It's gone. So, you know.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, and you know, and I hate to be a jerk, but, you know, you remember a few years back I got to a Twitter beef with the city of Cleveland. And, you know, it's definitely easier to watch their road game. I was watching a game with them with the White Sox last week. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe if you're an Indian fan, but, Jack, how many times have you turned it off or switched broadcast because of that damn drum?
Oh yeah. So yeah, well, you know, now you know how Mr. Fantasy feels when we used to play the Viking horn on him all the time.
Yeah, I guess. But you know, I mean, at least when it comes to football, it's only when they score that touchdown or maybe a first down. But I mean, when you get into like the seventh inning and the Indians, I don't know if it's a rally thing, and we're up. Well, I don't know what it is, but that damn drum does not stop. And I mean, it's very annoying.
Yeah, it's definitely a pain to listen to, you know, just speaking of the Indians, they did have an early game today as well. They beat the Tigers 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other early had the Rays beating the White Sox again. I think that's a couple days in a row, 10-5 today. So, you know, if you had your pitchers set, Dan, Charlie Morton got the win for the Rays. Irvin Santana took the loss for the White Sox. Corey Kluber got his first win for the Indians. He had been scuffling, while Jordan Zimmermann took the loss there for the Tigers. Matt Shoemaker actually picked up a win for the Blue Jays. He's 3-0 with an ERA under 1 to start the season. Chris Sale took the loss. He's only with an ERA of 9. And then the only save in the early game was Ken Giles. Picked up a save in the Blue Jays-Red Sox game. So there you go. And I know the Marlins and the Reds just got started. I believe Luis Castillo worked a 1-2-3 first inning. So the Reds are coming to bat. And then the rest of the stuff, we got the Mariners at the Royals, the A's at the Orioles, the Nationals at the Phillies, the Twins at the Mets, the Dodgers at the Cardinals, the Yankees at the Astros, which again is on the Mickey Mouse Network if you're looking for that game. The Braves at the Rockies, the Rangers at the Diamondbacks, the Padres at the Giants. And the late game tonight has the Brewers at the Angels, which I think is an MLB Network game if you're hunting for that one. So there you go. You're all caught up with scheduling for the night.
Yeah, today's Stathead kind of goes with your team. And I, you know, just wanted to throw it out there. You know, some of the top performers yesterday was Encarnacion, you know, Edwin, 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 4 RBI. And then another guy, Dylan Moore, who I don't know, 2-for-4, had a home run, an RBI, 3 runs. Of course, there are many more, but, you know, another thing baseball reference brought up in this one, so the fact that Seattle has the most home runs in the first 12 games, which is 32, and to play your favorite game of every season, Big Jack, throughout the year, if the season ended today, Seattle would be taking on the Indians in the wild card race, or in the wild card game, while Detroit.
Oh, well, that would work out.
You know, did you happen to Mariners last night, or did you watch the highlights this morning on your team?
No,
you're kind of staring it up lately.
I've since they've been playing well, I've actually been trying to stay away a little bit, you know, because I honestly am just afraid that I will curse them. So I've been trying to be really good, and all I do is I get the score, I find out if they won or not. And then I just leave it alone. I don't hunt out the highlights. I don't, you know, I don't look for anything else. You know, I'm just very concerned that I would be the one who would kill them, you know, if something happened. So I'm trying to be really good because they're playing so well. You know, and part of the thing is I wonder if they're just playing so well despite me, because remember, I did pick them for last in our preseason standings, our preseason predictions. So, you know, but I would take that.
Yeah, I've got two birthdays today. AJ Ellis turned 38, and then good old Doc White, born in 1879. He had 2 years with the Phillies. I think it was like 8 or 10 years with the White Sox. And in 1906 or 7, I think it was 06, he posted, the season high that year. I don't know what the record is. But a number we will not ever see. And I don't think in our lifetimes anymore. You know, career high 27 wins in 1906. I thought that one was an interesting one just to throw out there. But I do have to ask you, I had the Cubs on and I turned it on. And then John Buster threw like 3 pitches and it was gone. So I was doing something when I had it on. So at first I'm like, oh, great, Madden, you know, they've got the lead. Now he's pulling guys, but they've got a 5-6-run lead. What the hell's going on here? I didn't realize it until later, but have you heard anything or you got a report?
Yes, I do. John Lester has been placed on the injury list with a hamstring strain.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was why he came out yesterday. It wasn't anything weird. He was actually quoted after the game yesterday saying he wants to make his next start. You know, obviously this early in the season, this is the right way to go about it. You put it on, you let him miss a couple starts, and then you have him for, you know, hopefully 30 more. You know, not only is that a, you know, significant injury for the Cubs because he's obviously their best pitcher, but I don't know if you saw this one. I don't know if down the road on one of your fantasy teams, Dan, you have Mike Clevinger, but he's been pitching really well for the Indians. They had to put him on the IL because of a back injury, and Terry Francona said today that he will not even throw for 6 to 8 weeks. So that's huge for the Indians, who, you know, haven't, you know, even though they're in it, you know, what's probably the easiest division in baseball, and, you know, everybody assumed that they would just kind of cruise to the central title. You know, they've got off to a bit of a slower start, and, you know, this is going to be gigantic for them. I mean, they've righted the ship a little. They won 5 in a row counting today. They're 7-3. So, you know, but, you know, obviously Detroit and Minnesota are still hanging around, you know, being as early as it is. But, yeah, that's a big, big injury for them. Because, you know, like, Kluber had a couple of rough starts. You know, I know Trevor Bauer was fantastic his last time out. That's because, of course, I picked him to win the American League Cy Young, so he's going to be fantastic every time out, but that's just my opinion. But, yeah, Clevinger, I think, had been the most consistent, you know, of the guys in their rotation. So they're going to have to – you know, I have to come up with something and find a way to get it shuffled here. Yeah, I can actually tell you, Dan, he's made 2 starts. Believe it or not, he is just 1-0. He's covered 12 innings, only given up 2 hits in those 12 innings, walked 4, struck out 22, and hasn't allowed a run yet. So, you know, and I lied about Bauer. His ERA is 0.64 in his 2 starts, so he's been awesome both times. But he did allow a run, unlike Clevinger. So, but, yeah, I don't know. You know, the Indians are a little thin pitching-wise, so I don't know where they're going to, you know, they're going to make the move. Let me see if they brought a pitcher up for his replacement here, because I think he officially went on the IL today. And I still, Dan, can't get used to calling it the IL. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to.
No, I saw it on TV earlier on the crawler. And, you know, coming back from IL, I was like, what is he doing in Illinois?
Yeah, that's kind of the way to look at it. All right, well, there's no update there on this site. Let me jump over to a little better site here and see if we can find out if the Indians have made a corresponding move, because I would be interested to know if they brought up a starter or if they have a, you know, because I don't ever remember anybody really talking about the great minor league system the Indians have. Do you?
No.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see who does. But oh, and I did forget to tell you. You know, I mentioned the Red Sox Blue Jays game, and I was mentioning how the Jays were actually stealing bases. Loris Gurriel Jr. actually stole home, straight steal of home, nothing funky. Chris Sale went into his windup, he took off and stole home.
I'm gonna have to look for those replays.
So, you know, yeah, it was just one of those things. It looks like the Indians have called up Nick. I'm gonna guess this is Whitgren from Columbus. I don't know a whole bunch about Nick, so let me jump on Dan's favorite search engine here and see if we can bring some Nick Whitgren stats and see what it looks like the Indians are going with here. I can tell you he's a 27-year-old right-hander, Dan. Looks like he was with the Marlins last year. Did appear in 32 games, all in relief. 2-1 with a really good 2.94 ERA. So, decent stats there. But again, all in relief. Let me see. The Indians had assigned him to the minors, and he had made two appearances for them, but they were both in relief as well. So I don't know what their plans are for that, you know, that extra spot in their rotation then. How they're going to see if they can juggle it or whatever works out, but we'll have to see. And I did see, it does say here that Jason Kipnis started his rehab assignment. So maybe we'll see him soon.
Playing center.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that where he's playing this? I don't know what they're doing with him this year. So, you know, maybe he'll play left or something different this time around. But yeah, I want to. Maybe they. So you got to check and see if they haven't upgraded. Well, the depth chart actually has them upgraded with just four starters. So, I guess we might have to wait till Clevenger's actual spot comes around before they. You know, they decide on who they're going to go with or what they're going to go with. And of course, you know, I have to hunt down their number one rated prospect as a pitcher, but he's all at 21, and it looks like he's only pitching at Double A. So I don't think we'll see him. Let's see, this guy's 18. I still hate how they do this with their prospects, how they're all, you know, freaking teenagers, and then when they don't work out, they can say, "What are you talking about? We never had them rated that high." it looks like they have two. Here's another guy. Anybody in Triple A? No, it looks like all their prospects are in Double A or lower. You know, so I'm guessing we're not going to see any of these guys called up to fill the role. But you know, here we go. We finally found a guy in Triple A. Maybe we'll see Chiwi Hugh, Dan, who comes up. He's in Durham. He's 25. He was 5-7 last year in 19 starts, 24 games overall. But it looks like he's the only guy on their prospect list who's in AAA, and he's down at 17. So we'll have to see how that works out. But I did wanted to ask you there. Did you see the highlights of the Pirates Reds brawl from, what was that? I think it was Sunday.
Yeah, it's this morning they decided to suspend Yasiel Puig.
Yes, I thought it was fantastic that he just wanted to fight the entire team. So I do find it kind of interesting that, you know, Archer was basically the guy who started it.
Mm-hmm.
He got five games, so he's only going to miss one start, where Puig is actually the guy who suffers the most because it looks like he's going to miss two games. And it's like, well, that kind of sucks because he was just defending his teammate. You know, and I get that he was a little out of control, but I'm always going to err on the side of Puig here because, well, I like him. It seems kind of crappy that he ends up with the longest suspension, doesn't it?
He got really hit through punching. I think if he maybe didn't go that route, you know, but as you look at it, it's only two games. I think if Chris Archer hit him, he deserves to miss two starts.
Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, and I get it, you know, you can't suspend a pitcher for 10 games, you know, unless he, you know, so I do kind of understand that. I just, like I said, I just think it sucks that, you know, Puig is the guy who ends up,
but, you know,
paying
for
the big price.
For me, though, if I'm Derek Dietrich, which I think I have on one of my 14, because somebody is ignoring my if I come up to a bat with Chris Archer, I'd smirk at him and then hope to get him.
So, yeah. So, you know, there was something else popped into my head I wanted to ask you, and it just, it went away as quickly as it showed up there. That's kind of disappointing when that happens to me, but I guess at my age that has to be expected. So, you know, well, where are you on a, let's go with Chris Davis, the Oriole. You know, he set the record last night. I believe he is, was he 0 for 47 or 0 for 48? He actually did hit a couple baseballs hard last night. They just, and you know, ended up going right to the left fielder. Sadly, I was all set to plug him into my FanDuel lineup tonight because they have him for only $500, but the Orioles are giving him the day off. I figure, hell, I'll take a shot with that. But, yeah, like I said, he's out of the lineup. I mean, you know, obviously this guy is, you know, he signed a gigantic contract that he's still got a couple years left on. Are you, I don't know, are you feeling sorry or are you kind of on the opposite end and you want to laugh at him? Let me bring Dan back in and he can answer my question. All right, there we go. So.
Who are you talking about?
Chris Davis of the Orioles.
You got to go all over. I don't really know.
Okay.
What's going on.
No, obviously he set the record going 0 for, he's 0 for 47 or 48 or something. Are you on the side where you're kind of rooting for him, or you just want to laugh at him?
I'm rooting for him to see how long he can keep this streak going.
So you just want to laugh at him?
Kind of.
Yeah, because he actually, like I said, he did hit a couple balls hard last night, but he ended up hitting them right at the left fielder. So, you know, and then, of course, in the highlights, all they showed was him striking out because he was 0 for 5 with 2 strikeouts. So, yeah, it was just like, you know, that's just how I guess they have to do it. But this is the question I couldn't remember, Dan. This one popped into my head. You know, obviously we had a lot of talk about Eloy Jimenez, especially here locally. You know, he looked really bad early. You know, I mentioned, I think I told you I got a couple emails from Stu when he struck out his first two times in the majors. Well, you know, he's righted the ship, I guess you could say. You know, adding in his stats for today, he's hitting .282. You know, obviously the drawback is he struck out 13 times in 39 at-bats, but, you know, that's baseball today. We're going to get that. The problem now, Dan, apparently for Cub fans that I've ran into is, well, what's wrong with him? He hasn't hit a home run. Dan, are they just bitter because they're worried about the White Sox getting just the so much better end of this deal? Or, you know, what is the issue here? Because, I mean, this is just ridiculous, you know, that, yeah, you know, if it isn't one thing, it, you know, it's half a dozen of another. It's like, you know, he's got his average up to .282. Boy, yeah, but he hasn't homered. You know, I think eventually he'll hit one. I really do. I don't know about you. He may even get to double digits. But, you know, it's just like, come on. You're kidding me, right? Defend your Cub fan brethren.
I can't. I mean, I get it. You got to pick something to poke fun at, but you know, he's 22. It's his first stint in the major league in 13 games.
Yeah. So, actually, 10. He's only played in 10. So, you know. And I mean, I get it. He's going to strike out a lot. I'm assuming he'll have over 200 strikeouts this year. But, you know, I mean, how quickly did the Cub fans forget that this is exactly how Javier Baez looked when he started? You know, he would swing at pitches in the other batter's box. And from time to time, he still does. So, you know, it's just kind of like, what, did you guys forget about this already? You know, I mean, give him some time to develop before you decide to, you know, pounce on him and just destroy him for every little thing. But, yeah, I couldn't believe that because, yeah, it was like, I'm trying to remember who I was talking to somebody at work about it because I wore my – I got this nice Dick Arrieta Fear the Beard shirt that I wore today, and I was quite surprised how many people actually remembered who he was because it's a Philly shirt, not a Cubs shirt. And, you know, the one guy was talking to me about it today, and he mentioned it. And, you know, at the time, I think Jimenez was only hitting about 250 going into today. And I said, well, you know, he seems to be coming around. He goes, yeah, but he hasn't hit any homers yet. I'm like, okay, so what? So, you know. You know, neither's Quintana. So, you know, does that make that trade equal?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a whole – you know, look up today, all of the home run.
you know, it was just like I said, it was just so odd to me, you know, listening to it. And, you know, then I heard somebody on TV mention it. I don't think it was your guy, David Kaplan, but it was somebody on that network. I forgot, what is it? It used to be Comcast. What is it, NBC Sports or something now? I forget, they've changed so much. But, yeah, somebody mentioned it there, one of the guys who's pro-Cub, who does their interview shows, and I was just kind of like, okay, why are we, you know, we're going to dog a guy hitting 280 because he hasn't homered yet. You know, if he was hitting 100 with two homers and 13 strikeouts, they would be complaining that he was hitting 100, wouldn't they?
No, it wouldn't even be brought up.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh God, I quit. It's like I just can't believe you guys. It's like nothing ever, you know, nothing ever kind of goes this way. It's like, you know, first the guy signs a contract to set him and his family up, and you kill him because he signed a contract. You know, then he strikes out twice in the first two at bats, and Schomburg Stu kills him. You know, it's like, well, just two at bats. We give him a couple more bats before we add him into the buff category like Ian Hobb. So, you know,
yeah.
And like, oh, God.
Well, you know, one of the cool things I found out about this kid over the weekend listening to Steve Stone was the fact that he actually grew up a White Sox fan, and he's actually from the Dominican. And, you know, he didn't always live here. I guess as a kid, being a White Sox fan, and I forget how the connection was there, but he actually, you know, would come to Chicago with the family as a kid. And coming to Chicago, you know, the White Sox were his favorite team. And the reason he chose number 74 as his number was he didn't want to have a number like anybody else. And he wanted to be, you know, the next great Chicago White Sox. Decided, you know, to kind of put together his own legacy with the likes of Frank Thomas. There's a couple other guys they mentioned, but, you know, of course, me being a kid growing up in the 90s, when Eloy was born, Frank Thomas was always the man here in Chicago. I don't, for me as a kid, it didn't matter that he was a White Sox. He was the man. You know, him and Mark Grace were like the guys you watched when I was a kid. So, you know, I think it's pretty cool that he ended up with the White Sox and he can kind of come into the team and do his thing. But, I mean, like you said, you know, and Javi Baez's rookie year, I went to two games within a week or two of each other where he went 0 for 9 with 9 strikeouts, and 5 of them he watched the ball go over the plate. That means he didn't swing, for those of you who don't understand But, you know, I mean, there's going to be the growing pain, just like there was in the outfield with some of his defense. And was it last year or the year before when the White Sox made that draft pick? Now I can't remember his name, but he's a shortstop. And, you know, we talked about him before. And our local guy, Bruce Levine, you know, was pegging this White Sox team with his draft pick sitting at number one going into the World Series in 2020, if not this year. And, I mean, as I've watched this team, I still think they've still got a lot of work to do. But then again, it's hard to judge because even the really good teams to open this season have been getting their asses handed to them in games where they're losing 10-2, i.e. my Chicago Cubs. So, I mean, I think it's hard to judge a team and any of these teams moving forward for the rest of the season when we really don't know how the hell it's going to turn out. Like I said earlier, you know, the Mariners would be taking on, was it the Indians, I said, in the wild card if season were to end today. But, you know, do either of you or I believe that Detroit's going to hold on to that number one spot for the whole season? I don't think so. I don't know, but I really like what the Mariners are doing right now. But, you know, going back to where we were, you know, I'm not going to crush Eloy Jimenez. I think what he did was awesome. He signed that contract smart. Smart for the White Sox to avoid that arbitration clock dilemma. Controversy, I think that's the better word. So, you know, they're making the moves to try to put a solid team together. And from the White Sox point of view, I hope it works out for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of baffled me when I was listening to him. I was like, wait, what? So, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't wish Chris Davis the worst season of his career, but if he's going to have it, he might as well break some records in it, right?
Yeah. Hey, what the heck, right? Yeah, so. You know, I was wondering, this is kind of one of those things that up your alley here that I didn't look too far into, but I saw that the government actually cracked down on a deal that Major League Baseball had with Cuba to work it out with players, and I don't know, you know, the entire situation. Do you, by any chance, know anything at all or anything like that?
No, I saw a quick update. I didn't really have time to look into it this morning.
So, yeah, I was just kind of curious on how they were coming on a you know, going to set that up. But, all right, yeah, I figured that would be something that would kind of be, like, right up your alley.
I saw the headline somewhere, but I didn't really read it too much this morning.
But, yeah, you know, well, you and I will have to take a look at that and see what's coming on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got to figure with the way the country is today and the talk of immigration that you can't expect anything less. So, but then again, I'm not going to put a political stance out there or go into any further because I didn't really read it all.
Yeah. No, I can definitely understand that. It was just kind of, you know, oh, okay, what's, you know, it sound, you know, it seemed like a decent idea, but obviously, you know, there are all kinds of politics and stuff that go along with it. So,
yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to criminality or certain things, Major League Baseball, NFL also, and I'm not sure how far that goes into the NBA and NHL, but, you know, these two organizations in particular are forced to govern their leagues, superseding, like, our laws. And yet, when it comes to something like this, then it's not okay. So you could very well see how, I think, not only those in the offices, but people who really aren't that political or into government stuff can get really confused by, you know, what it is. Because sometimes it almost seems like these entities are, I'm not going to say above the law, but kind of create their own laws, almost like they're with their overseas or out of this country affiliations, that they're almost like a country with no country. You know what I mean?
Wow. But yeah, well, it's definitely, we'll have to, we'll have to look at that and see what goes on. So. but yeah, and I know, you know, I'll have like complete scheduling and everything tomorrow here, Dan, but you know, we didn't talk much about it this year, I think basically because both our fantasy teams sucked, but the NHL playoffs kick off tomorrow. So yeah, we didn't have very many bragging rights, but your daughter's favorite team, the Winnipeg Jets, has taken on the St. Louis Blues in the first round. And I will have you know, I did fill out an NHL bracket, and I did pick the Jets to win it all. So hopefully, that works.
I've got to fill this evening to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up the number two seed in their conference. So.
Yeah, well, if you want me to kind of throw it at you right now, the Islanders are taking, you know, at home with Pittsburgh starting tomorrow. As well as, you know, the Jackets, the Blue Jackets are in Tampa starting tomorrow. And then we have Toronto at Boston on the 11th. The only series that I care about, not that I don't care about the rest of them, but Carolina's at Washington on the 11th. That's going to, you know, that's my series. Starting tomorrow also, the Blues are in Winnipeg, like you just mentioned. On the 11th, we have Colorado out in Calgary, and then to wrap it up, Dallas is in Nashville tomorrow. So I think we go 4-4 on both days. The first round of the NHL playoffs kind of sucks because it's NBA style, so it's every other day. And then randomly, Big Jack, not in between travel, I think it's just because of the way the weekend works out. Like, for instance, with Washington and Carolina, I noticed that in the middle two series, they have like a two-game break. So this is one of the things that irritates myself, and I know you, because we're not going to wrap up the first round. And this is what makes it a little bit more difficult to watch on my end, to actually get into all the series, because this will be going on starting tomorrow, like I mentioned, all the way through Easter if everyone goes seven games. So, I mean... I know you know exactly where I'm going with this. It just, this is the part that kind of sucks.
You know, but now I do want to know what are you going to do if, you know, your daughter's favorite team, the Winnipeg Jets, end up playing the Nashville Predators, which you have a bit of a rooting interest in. How are you going to go there?
Because
you can't root against your daughter.
I think I'm going to have to.
Oh boy, I'm not. Somebody's going to tell your wife, and you're going to get in trouble. So,
my wife and I have the Predator stuff. So,
I'm kind of rooting for that matchup somewhere down the line there in the Western Conference, just to kind of see what happens there. So maybe we will get that. And you know, and I did see, you know, this never fails. I don't know why this keeps happening to the NHL. But I saw that if Washington and Pittsburgh both win, they meet in the second round. You know, I mean, for whatever reason, these teams are just destined to not meet in a conference final. You know, obviously they're both in the East. They can't play for the Stanley Cup, which would be fantastic because in a lot of years they were the best two teams. But, yeah, the way the seeding worked out this year with their records and everything, they'll meet in round two if they both win their first-round match, which they are. I think they're – well, I know Washington is favored to win theirs, but Pittsburgh might have a tough one against Toronto. So, but, yeah, just like, great, here we go. We're going to get, you know, Ovi and Crosby in the second round again if it works out this way. But, yeah, it's like, this figures. And, again, it's, the games, they get a little spread out. You do have to hunt for them. Tomorrow we have two games on the USA Network, two games on the NBC Sports Network, and then, of course, St. Louis at Winnipeg is on the NHL Network, Dan, so I couldn't watch that if I wanted to because of the only frickin' sports network I don't get. I get MLB, NBA, and NFL, and I don't get the NHL. So be prepared to hunt a little bit. Later on as things go on, games pop up on CNBC. So, if you're going to look for playoff games, they're on the NBC networks. It's just finding them.
if you're like me, and I don't know about, Big Jack has the DirecTV, so it's a little less difficult, but I have Xfinity, and the beauty with Xfinity is they have this little button, the letter C. You press the C, and it pulls up all your sports scores and the channel they're on. It's screwed up when your local team, and this is coming from baseball, is on ESPN because you click watch game. And it takes you to whatever show that is regularly programmed for that time slot. And then you have to go search for your local team. That's when it gets screwed up. But, hopefully that'll change when the Cubs get their own network. I don't know if that's for, everybody. But that's one of the beauties of Xfinity. We should get paid for this plug. Like I said, you hit this button. The thing pops up. Your screen minimizes a little bit. The right-hand side, it has on now. Shows every game that's on, or you can go, scroll by MLB, NHL, and so on and so forth. So I won't have too much trouble finding them for me, luckily, but like you, Big Jack, I will not catch any games on the NHL network.
I'm just lucky with the fact that we have AT&T Uverse. I am just very happy that it goes on when I turn it on because we have had so many issues with this. I'm just kind of like, great, it turned on. That's all I care about. It started, no problem. I'm going to be able to watch something. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to be able to watch it. So, I'm just like, yay. But, Is it your service that has the remote you can talk to, or is that somebody else's?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's mine, too. If I can't find them that way, all I have to say is Jets, Predators,
cool.
Capitals. Well, I actually set a reminder for Capitals games, so that's a whole other topic.
Well, of course, if you say Jets, you could get the New York Jets, and I don't know if you want to watch those.
Maybe I could. They got new uniforms, so...
who doesn't? I saw somewhere, I think it was opening weekend or something in Cincinnati, I was watching their game, and their announcers mentioned that the Reds have like 7 different uniform combinations they're going to wear on Sundays. So the marketing is just out of control here. If you're a hardcore fan and you want to buy jerseys, you're going to be spending paychecks on jerseys.
Yeah, well, that's what they want. But I do think that has to do with the fact that it's the 150-year anniversary for Major League Baseball and the Reds because, New Era 5950 fitted hat, cap style, they released about seven different logos. So that's probably where that's going from.
So, and I did want to get to this, Dan, because I don't think I have laughed this hard in quite a while. And the headline to this article was just so incredibly stupid that I couldn't even read it. And this, of course, is taking us to basketball with our good friend LeVar Ball, who hasn't been in the news very much. But I don't know if you've seen this one, Dan. He actually came out and said that LiAngelo Ball is a better basketball player than Zion Williamson, who was the kid who dominated at Duke and actually blew the shoe out and missed a few games that all the uproar had, and will be the number one pick in the NBA draft no matter who has it. And I thought, I assuming this is just kind of LeVar trying to pump up his 15 minutes again, because we haven't heard or seen or paid any attention to him in a while. But yeah, I mean, are you thinking that, or what are you digging off of this?
You know, he's just trying to extend his 15 minutes again. You know, can I believe that statement? I can believe that LeVar said it because, you know, he could take on Jordan one-on-one, so.
you know, I mean, I'm never really surprised with the stupidity that comes out of this guy's mouth. And, you know, and I guess, you know, I'm as bad as, you know, any other media person, because really they probably shouldn't have reported it, and we probably should be talking about it because it's just so incredibly stupid. But it was just more for the idea that I legitimately just laughed so hard. It wasn't even funny. And I was like, oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Well, and you want something else to laugh about. I just checked my mail. And mind you, I get stuff from just about every team that I, you know, registered with online or whatever. And I just got a credit card offer, Bank of America, for the Cincinnati Reds, you know, so you could have one of their cards, since the Reds. And guess what the promotion is? $150 back when you sign up, hence the 150-year anniversary.
That's funny. So I have to.
I just thought that was funny.
I have to make an edit to my FanDuel lineup while we're thinking about it here. I made the big switch with Chris Davis, and one of the guys I added was Eric Thames, and as it turns out, he's not in the Brewers starting lineup, but luckily it's a late game, and I can get in and swap a guy in. So if we have some time here, Dan, maybe you can help me fill my utility position here. Let me give you some choices. Do you like Rougned Odor hitting second for the Rangers today? They're taking on the Diamondbacks. Austin Barnes, eighth for the Dodgers. They're taking on the Cardinals. Odubel Herrera hitting sixth for the Phillies against the Nationals. Or Cole Calhoun leading off for the Angels today against the Brewers.
Ooh. I think they're all tough, but I looked at Odubel. And I just didn't like him going up against Strasburg. So I think Calhoun would probably be the best. I'm not huge on Austin Barnes fantasy wise.
All right, I'm going to plug Calhoun in, hit the ending music, and you're going to be all set. There we go.
Yeah, and for
off today. So we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this. Like,
Bruce, Cody Ballinger, and Bryce Harper.